Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and wrangle this whole mental health thing into submission. Now, this week I don't really have all that much to talk about, but there is something I've been looking for that maybe somebody out there can help me with. I have a Plane Chase deck. It's large at this point. The whole deck by itself is maybe 2.5 to 3 inches thick. And it's just every Plane Chase card. And the deck box that I was keeping it in is falling apart. It was one of the old Ultra Pro ones that could fit like the oversized commanders. And it's just starting to fall apart. And everything I look into is just not gonna work for the number of cards and size that I need. I thought maybe the Professor's XL academic deck box would work, but it's just like an eighth of an inch too short, so they don't fit into the card slot. And yeah, I know this is like a personal problem, but I just, if anybody has any suggestions, I'm all ears. That said, I don't really have a whole lot to talk about because I've just been keeping my head down and not really interacting with the Magic community all that much right now. So I don't know what's really going on. And that's kind of okay with me at the moment. I'm just trying to pay my bills and figure things out. That said, I don't have a whole lot beyond, I do really want to talk about some of the Plane Chase cards that came out specifically with the Doctor Who decks. So yeah, I'll just piggyback that off of this. I was reminded as I was looking through my stack of Planeswalking cards that there was also the release with March of the Machine. So we're just going to do a quick rundown from each of them. And yeah, we'll jump into it with the original Plane Chase stuff. Starting with Jund on the Plane of Alara. Whenever a player casts a black, red, or green creature spell, it gains Devour 5. Whenever you roll Chaos, you make 2/1/1 red goblin creature tokens. Next up we have Grixis, also on the Plane of Alara. Blue, black, and or red creature cards in your graveyard have Unearth. The Unearth cost is equal to the card's mana cost. Whenever you roll Chaos, put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Next up is Bant, also in Alara. All creatures have Exalted. Whenever you roll Chaos, put a Divinity counter on target green, white, or blue creature. That creature has Indestructible for as long as it has a Divinity counter on it. Naya, which is also on Alara, you may play any number of lands on each of your turns. Whenever you roll Chaos, target red, green, or white creature you control gets +1/+1 till end of turn for each land you control. And to round out the original stuff, I have Sokenzin, which is on the Plane of Kamigawa. All creatures get +1/+1 and have haste. Whenever you roll Chaos, untap all creatures that attack this turn. After this main phase, there's an additional combat phase, followed by an additional main phase. And Prov on the Plane of Ravnica. If you cast a spell this turn, you can't attack with creatures. If you attack with creatures this turn, you can't cast spells. Whenever you roll Chaos, you gain life equal to the number of cards in your hand. Now, moving from the planes into the planes that came with the March of the Machine, first up, we have Esper, the last of the demi-planes of Alara. Artifact spells cost 1 less to cast. Whenever chaos ensues, creatures you control that are white, blue, and or black become artifacts in addition to their other types until end of turn. Then each artifact creature you control gains vigilance, menace, and lifelink till end of turn. Next up, we have Paliano on the planet Fiora. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, if there is no monarch, you become the monarch. Whenever chaos ensues, create a 1/1 black assassin creature token with death touch and haste. Next up, we have Nyx on the plane of Theros. Non-token creatures are enchantments in addition to their other types, and it has constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life. Whenever chaos ensues, choose a color, add an amount of mana of that color equal to your devotion to that color. Next up is the Golden City of Araska on the planet of Ixalan. It has Ascend. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. Then draw a card if you have the city's blessing. Whenever chaos ensues, you may put a permanent card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. The Great Eyrie on the plane of Tarkir. Whenever you planeswalk to the Great Eyrie and at the beginning of your upkeep, bolster 3. Whenever chaos ensues, choose up to one target creature you control and up to one target creature an opponent controls. Each of those creatures deal damage equal to its toughness to each other. And to round out the things from March of the Machine, we have Norn's Seed Core on the plane of New Phyrexia. Whenever you planeswalk to the Seed Core, chaos ensues. Whenever chaos ensues, reveal cards from the top of your planar deck until you reveal a plane card. Planeswalk to it, except don't planeswalk away from any plane. Put the rest of the revealed cards on the bottom of your planar deck in any order. So, what I like about this particular plane is when we play, we're not playing with one planar deck a piece. It's one communal deck. So when this comes up, we planeswalk to two different planes. We're still on the Seed Core and another plane, and then the next time we planeswalk, we choose which one we planeswalk away from. So there's always two active at that point. It's just it really ups the chaos factor. And then getting into what originally I wanted to talk about with this is the Planes cards from the Doctor Who deck, which is I chose specific ones, particularly things that are on the plane of Earth and Mars and the Moon. But getting into it, we have the Antarctic Research Base on the plane of Earth. Whenever you planeswalk to the research base and at the beginning of your upkeep, investigate. Whenever chaos ensues, put X +1/+1 counters on target creature control, where X the number of artifacts you control. It becomes a plant in addition to its other types. The Temple of Atropos, which is on the plane of time. At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, there's an additional beginning phase after this phase. That means untap, upkeep, and draw. Whenever chaos ensues, reverse the game's turn order, then planeswalk. For example, if play had proceeded clockwise around the table and now goes counterclockwise. So, yeah, lots of chaos there. Bowie Base 1 on the plane of Mars. At the beginning of your end step, goad target creature controlled by the player to your left. Whenever chaos ensues, target creature gains island walk until end of turn. New York on the plane of New Earth. At the beginning of combat on your turn, until end of turn, non-creature artifacts you control become 3/3 vehicles in addition to their other types and gain flying, haste, and crew 1. Whenever chaos ensues, create a treasure token and a 2/2 white alien creature token. The Moon Base on the plane of the Moon. It has low gravity. All creatures have 2. This creature gains flying till end of turn, activate only as a sorcery. Whenever chaos ensues, for each opponent, choose up to one target creature card in that player's graveyard. Put those cards onto the battlefield face down under your control. They are 2/2 Cybermen artifact creatures. And finally, we have Amy's House on the plane of Earth. Whenever you planeswalk to Amy's House and at the beginning of your upkeep, you may put a non-land card from your hand with a number of time counters on it equal to its mana value. If it doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend. Whenever chaos ensues, you time travel. So, yeah, those are just some of the ones that I liked the design of. Even the crazy ones that are on the plane of Earth and the Moon and Mars. And yeah, I really enjoy Plane Chase. Maybe not with every game, but when you're just trying to like hang out with friends and have fun. I'm going to take a quick break and then I'll come back and we're going to talk about something else. But I don't have any interim music, so for you it's just going to seem like a weird cut. So I'll be right back. And we're back. Now, I want to talk about a deck that I played last night with my brother, my cousin, and a friend. And it's Frodo. But not the Frodo you're thinking of. This is Frodo, Sauron's Bane. Single white for a 1/2 halfling citizen. You can pay 2 hybrid Orzhov mana to make him a halfling scout with base power and toughness 2/3 and lifelink. And then you can pay 3 black. If Frodo is a scout, it becomes a rogue with whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game if the ring has tempted you 4 or more times this game, otherwise the ring tempts you. So I built this as like a Voltron deck with parts and pieces from a mono white Voltron deck that was running Icing Death as the commander and some stuff from a Boros one that just didn't come together. So yeah, very cheap commander, very easy to make it into a 2/3 with lifelink. So I thought, hey, yeah, just slap some equipment on there and go to town. So that's kind of what I did. It started with the, I believe the first one that I played was the Basilisk Collar. Single mana, equipment, equip creature gets death touch, lifelink, equips for 2. And that just started me padding my life total. I followed that up with an Esper Sentinel to keep cards in my hand. And that Esper Sentinel sat around for 5 turns and ended up drawing me like 6 cards. The next thing that came out was the Bloodforged Battleaxe. Single mana, equipment. Equip creature gets +2/+0. Whenever the equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, create a token that's a copy of Bloodforged Battleaxe, equips for 2. By the end of the game, I believe I had 16 battle axes. Yeah. Then it was just like the normal progression of Mana Rock with Thought Vessel into Champion's Helm to make it harder to deal with Frodo, which is a 3 mana equipment. The equipped creature gets +2/+2 as long as it's legendary. It has hexproof, equips for 1. Eventually they were able to deal with Frodo, but he had also drawn some cards using Rogue's Gloves, which is a 2 mana equipment. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card, equips for 2. And the Warhammer, the Loxodon Warhammer, 3 mana equipment. Equip creature gets +3/+0, trample and lifelink, equips for 3. And it had a kite sail on it at that point, which was the Cliffhaven Kite Sail, single mana equipment. When it enters the battlefield, you can auto attach it to a creature. Equip creature has flying, equips for 2. Then they started systematically getting rid of my equipment. The first 2 to go were the Champion's Helm and the Cliffhaven Kite Sail, which made Frodo targetable, so then they got rid of Frodo. At that point, I played Lauren, Disciple of History, which is 3 and white for a 3/3 human advisor. Whenever Lauren, Disciple of History, or another legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. I used that to get the Champion's Helm back, protect Lauren. Unfortunately, Lauren did not stick around long enough for me to put my Helm of the Host on her. She did get got again. But the Icing Death that I talked about earlier, Icing Death Frost Tyrant, which is 2 white-white for a 4/3 dragon with flying vigilance, and then when it dies, it turns into a sword that taps on attack and gives +2/+0. The Helm of the Host went on there. 4 mana equipment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, create a token that's a copy of the equipped creature. Except the token isn't legendary. If the equipped creature is legendary, the token gains haste and equips for 5. So, with Helm of the Host on Icing Death, I had gotten the Champion's Helm back and put that on Icing Death. And then I just loaded up the original Icing Death and then the copy that I make, that I had made the turn prior with as many battle axes as I had the mana for. And just started swinging. But then it got to a point where to get through, I needed, well, something else. So I had pulled and opened the armory. 1 and a white for a sorcery. Search your library for an aura equipment card. Reveal it, put it in your hand, and then shuffle your library. I went for Sword of Once in Future, which is a 3 mana equipment. The equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from blue and black. Whenever the equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, surveil 2, then you may cast an instant sorcery spell with value mana value 2 or less from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. If it would go anywhere, exile it instead. Equips for 2. So, important point of order. The 2 surviving people at this point were playing white-black and white-blue. So this gave me utility against both of them. And I had already cast 5 or 6 different instants and sorceries that this could hit that were in my graveyard. And more importantly, I could start surveilling lands off the top of my library. And then, it came down to me and the Orzhov player. He had wiped my board, well, wiped the creature off my board. But I'm like, well, I have a ton of mana. Let's see what I can get. So I played a couple of creatures, played Frodo, and I had to wait for my cousin Nate to be out because my creatures would have entered tapped. So once he went down, I was clear to play Frodo, equip as much of the stuff on there as possible. I know he had the sword and I believe like 6 of the Bloodforged battle axes on there. And then I hit him with the Swifty Boots. 2 mana artifact equipment. Equip creature has hexproof and haste and equips for 1. So, yeah, I just kind of Frodo'd out of nowhere for, like, 26, I think it was. So, yeah. And that's where we're going to call it, because there is 2 dogs whining at both ends of the house right now. So, I will see you next time. Bye-bye.